Hallelujah. Now, when I was here the last time, I said that I was finishing up my book, and we have copies there. The pastor has talked about it. So please get yourself a copy. Be a blessing. Now, that will be in addition to, because you have already had a little bit of that message because I preached it here. It's called Leaving Behind a Righteous Legacy. I preached that message here a couple of years ago, and I will start writing the book. Now the book is out, so please get yourself one. Amen. I want us to get in the scriptures, and let me ask you to stand again, please, if you don't mind. We'll read the scriptures from Ephesians. I'm really basing my message on chapter 2, from verse 4 to 7, but I want first of all to read chapter 1, verse 3 to 6 of Ephesians. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." Say, "I'm accepted in the beloved." Then down there in chapter 2, verse 4 to 7, those are the two verses we'll read, sections rather. Ephesians 2, chapter verse 4 to 7, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved." Now the next verse, verse 6, "and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Before I pray, let's say together, "He has raised me," since you say together, "He has raised me together and made me," I want you to personalize, "and made me to sit together with him in heavenly places." Amen. See, we want to personalize. This morning, we want to personalize. That's my main emphasis. It is not those people out there. It is not somebody in some other church. It is me. He has raised us. Amen. In Christ Jesus, and made us to sit with him in heavenly places. Father, we thank you as we appreciate and acknowledge the fact that we may be walking with our two feet, but indeed in the spiritual realm, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, in the beauty, in the blessedness of heavenly places. And so, Father, help us to appropriate that in our faith, in our lives, so that we may live the way you want us to live. Bless us together and speak to us and receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. Amen. God has raised us together with Christ and has literally made us, even as we sit down here, he has made it possible that by faith we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that's a concept that's hard to understand, and we have had so many people try to spiritualize it and say, you know, this is not really possible. This is, he's talking about the future of the kingdom when we get to heaven. But that's not what Paul says. He does not say it shall be. Now, of course, like I said earlier when I was preaching last year, I said, yes, in our salvation, there are three levels. There is when you first come to Jesus, and he saves you, and you are—we call it justification. Let's say justification. You are made to be like Christ. Yes, he saves you, and you become exactly like him. And of course, then you begin the long journey of life to become like Jesus. with all the challenges that will be there. But you know that in a way, it says finally, 1 John chapter 3 says, we shall be like him. So there's a time of fully being in the presence of the Lord. And that is sometimes a challenge because some people say, oh, but I'm not in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, how can I be seated with him in heavenly places? But let's see, by faith. See, everything we are is by faith. Amen. The Bible says without faith, I mean, anything that's not of faith is sin. So I have to learn as a believer to receive the things God says. If God says, I'm sitting with Christ in heavenly places, I am sitting with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Amen. I just accept it. So here, the scripture is not saying that we might be seated or we could be seated. It says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In spite of all the challenges, we are in the presence of the challenges, the demons, the powers and principalities and everything else. And so that's why sometimes we think, how can it be that I'm sitting with Christ in heavenly places? First of all, I want us to see and believe in what the scripture is saying. You see, the pastor made you lift up your Bible and declare and decree that, yes, this is the word of God. And I'm going to believe what it says. I'm going to be exactly what it says. I am. In other words, it's not, it's not what I think. It's not what I have been told. It's what the Bible says I am. And so one of the things that he says right now, and that's our emphasis today, is that while we walk on earth, in this mortal body, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. All by faith. And that's possible. It is possible. So how do I do that? Let me now come quickly. There has to be, first of all, the entry point where I become acceptable or I become in right standing to sit with Christ. There has to be a place. Just like I was explaining earlier on, I'm from Kenya. And of course, like I said, you don't have to be told because as soon as I open my mouth, you realize my accent is Kenyan. And because I was born in Kenya. So there are some, even now, when I go with my American friends, I get to have a double privilege because when I'm going into Kenya, because of my having been born there, I have a Kenyan passport, so I have all rights and privileges. I just walk in the airport and I don't pay some money. When I have my American friends, they pay $50 to get in. You have to pay the visa at the airport. Well, when I'm coming back to America because of my dual citizenship, guess what? I come back as an American. So I enter, I pay zero. I go to Kenya, I pay zero. I don't pay because I have the privilege of having the dual citizenship. Now, guess what? We have another kind of citizenship that causes us to be lifted up to sit with Christ in heavenly places. And it's very made clear in John chapter 1, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. Hallelujah. The qualifying factor is the fact when I'm born again, when I come through Jesus Christ, I get the full rights and privileges of everything in that kingdom. See, this last year, it's only I didn't get the chance. I was able to vote here in America. But guess what? I didn't get to vote in Kenya, but I have the right to vote in Kenya as well. That's very unusual. There are not many people that America allows to do that, by the way. Only about, I think, 10 nations. I think the Germans, the British, the Kenyans, and a few other, where they allow us to have literally, I'm totally a Kenyan, 100%, and I'm 100% American. That's kind of interesting. But guess what? There's another citizenship that is higher than all those. It is called the kingdom citizenship. I'm part of the kingdom of God. And because of this, something that happened on Calvary, when Christ was on Calvary Street, he says this. He says, it is finished. That is after the blood was shed, he says, it is finished. The whole transaction of my sin, any depravity, anything that was there was taken over. In the Old Testament, they used to call it covering. the atonement. There was a day called the Day of Atonement. If you read in your Bible, there was a day, I forget the Jewish term. I know it, but I can't remember. But there was a day, a special one, the Day of Atonement, when they really used to have all their sins forgiven, and they were very happy. So there was sacrifice, and the high priest went to the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, and all sins were covered for a day. And so for that year, you are so happy because your sins were covered. They used to use the word covered. But they were only covered for 1 year. So the following year, the high priest again did the same thing he did the year before. And your sins were covered again for a whole year. So you live to be 40 years. He did that 40 times for you. Every time he tried to cleanse you, your sin, and he had to be very careful. If you know anything about it, is that he would come to the, there were three places. There was a place for everybody, to, you know, the men could, oh, actually it's about four sections. There was a section for the Gentiles. You know, you are out there. The Americans and the Kenyans were out there. So, you know, and the Gentiles were out there, and they had their own court. It was actually called the Gentile court out there. So the Gentiles who respected Israel and the God of Israel could come to worship, but they worshipped in the outer court out there. Then when you entered, there was a place also for the ladies. See, women did not go to the one of the, they were not as holy. So women, you are the next one out there. And then from there, from the women, came the men. So there was a place, a court for the men. So they worshipped. And actually, the Jewish man, when he woke up in the morning, he would say, Lord, I thank you. They would lift up their hands. Father, I thank you that I was not born a Gentile. Because he could see the Gentiles were out there. I was not born an American or an African. Then he said, and I thank you also that I was not born a woman. Seriously. It was on a prayer. He said, I thank God I was not born a Gentile or... They used to pray that. Because there was that the Gentile court, the women court, the men's court, and then from there were the priests. So the priests, not the high priest, but the regular priests had their own place where you couldn't come, so they came a little bit closer. But from there came to a place that was very, very holy, where only one man used to go once per year. In a place called Holy of Holies. Somebody say Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies. It was really inside. It was the Ark of the Covenant was there. And even the high priest himself. This is important to hear because we are talking about the entry. The high priest himself was very careful when he entered there. Not only did he take a full shower and so many other rituals and ceremonies, but he also had a rope tied to his waist. A long rope, which was left outside. Why? In case he was not clean enough, he would be struck dead by the presence of the Lord. And then they would not need, nobody would go inside there, so they needed the rope to pull him out. That's why you see some of the denominations having priests with long ropes. You see, that is how it came, you know, the rope to pull them out. But listen, all those places, the Gentile court, the women's court, the men's court, the priests, and now the Holy of Holies. And then Jesus on the cross, he says, it is finished. What did that mean? Immediately the Bible says that when those words rang in the heavens, the veil that separated the people, there was a big veil that separated. And when we say veil, sometimes we think it's just a little curtain. No, it was a thick veil that was really separated the other people from the Holy of Holies. That thing tore. And not only did it tear, read your Bible, it says it tore from the top. Amen. God himself made a way. When Jesus says on the cross, it is finished, immediately there was the earthquake. And then in the temple, the Bible says it broke into two and made a way. Listen, who can now? Now remember when we were in several groups, there was the high priest who was the only one to go in, the other priest, the men, the women, the Gentiles. Guess what? Now even those who are in the Gentile court can now come to the Holy of Holies and find mercy and grace in time of need. Hallelujah! you and I find acceptance. We read that in the scriptures. We find acceptance by the blood of Jesus Christ. I love this. It says actually those actual words in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says the following words. He, that's Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of his Son, of his love, that's God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So in other words, by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, you and I qualify fully and totally not to go to the court of the Gentiles, the court of the women, the court of the men, the court of the rest of the priests, but now to go to the very holy of holies and find grace and mercy in time of need. Amen. Somebody say, I'm qualified. Amen. You got qualified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He qualifies you to go to the very presence of God. Hallelujah. It's very important. Now, later on, we'll talk about the different ministries that we have in the body of Christ. But the first thing to understand is that God has qualified you through the blood of Jesus Christ to come to the very presence of the King of Kings. Amen. I get qualified. Now, this has nothing to do with your background. Some of us came from very kind of sinful situations. And sometimes the enemy will visit us and bring condemnation to us. But the Bible makes it very clear in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore no condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because once you come in there, according to 1 John also, Epistle of John, it says, as you walk in the light, as in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from about three sins. How many sins? Not three sins. I was surprised some of you just kept quiet, but I could see some of you are wondering, what does he mean? No, not three sins, not some sins, but how many sins? All sin. And this now does not matter whether it's adultery or murder or confusion. Just in January, I taught a class in one of the Christian universities in Kentucky. And I was teaching about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I was teaching on a class called Christ and Culture. And we had touched about the challenges in this culture and everything and the power of Christ. And I brought the issue of the blood of Jesus Christ. And one of the students told me, do you really want to tell me that even those murderers who are terrorists, who are killing people, are judged on the same level as everybody else? I said, I have to be honest to the scriptures. The scripture says all sin. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I said, it doesn't matter whether it was a terrorist or whatever. When they come to Christ, they get forgiven. Do you realize one of the most important and one of the greatest preachers in the Bible was a terrorist? He killed Christians everywhere. They were running from Paul. St. Paul was killing, cutting necks. Everywhere was God. The Bible says even when God saved him, he was on the way going to chase and kill Christians. And guess what? That terrorist got saved and became one of the greatest Christians. So that means it does not matter what background you have, how sinful your situation was. And you know, sometimes you will come to Christ and the enemy will always keep on reminding what you used to be. I want to remember that there is power in the blood of Jesus. And it cleanses every sin. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Again, it says all. Not some, not part of, but every one of those. Amen. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ does not melt down when it comes to your sin because it's so bad. No. It washes you clean. Amen. And makes you acceptable. Makes you acceptable. And then once you go in now, he says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in every place. In other words, God wants you to walk in power and authority in the new life in Jesus Christ. So the next thing I want to emphasize strongly is the issue, that position. When you enter, and he says that now we have entered and we are lifted up and we are seated with him. What does that mean? That also entails, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 19, and Hebrews 10, verse 12, it talks of a position of power and authority. I don't have to know the reading, but those texts. He has given us power and authority both here and in the universe as a child of the King. You may think of yourself as a little human being. But when Jesus was just about to go to heaven, he said, all authority. That's Matthew 28, verse 18. He says, all authority. Somebody say, all authority. Not some. Listen. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Now, why is he bringing the idea of all authority? Because he's saying, I bequeath that to you. I want you to know that as I'm speaking to you, all authority in heaven, you are my sons and my daughters. Therefore, all authority in heaven, before you can go, I want to tell you, you have the authority. The word authority in that verse is the word exousia. In the Greek, and exousia means legal power. Legal power. In other words, as a child of the King, when I'm saying that you are seated with Christ, you have legal power, governmental. In other words, the authority that Christ has, that he rules with power and authority, when you come to him, he also shares with you that power and authority. You can make declarations and it will happen. Just like it says in the book of Job, that you make declarations and it is fulfilled. Hallelujah. It's only that most of the times we have not known the kind of power and authority that we have. Legal power to make declarations and cause things to happen. Listen, that is not only left. As Pastor Drew mentioned in the earlier service, when he was talking about you coming to help distribute the track, he talked about that all of us, that he has called them, the fivefold ministries, you know, the apostles and pastors, us to equip you, the believers. Not so that you can have a good time in the church, but for the work of ministry. And that's why I said, actually, I was teaching my students, I told them, listen here. The church in America has used the word ministry in the wrong way most of the times, because you find many churches where they say, they will say, oh, the minister of this church is so-and-so. And they are talking about one man who they call their minister. That's not biblical. The church, every believer is a minister. So if somebody was going to ask me, who is the minister of Hope? I would say, oh, all these hundreds of them. Every one of them is a minister. So the pastors are called to equip you, the ministers, to go and do the work of ministry out there. But you see, you cannot be able to be effective until you realize your position in Christ. Because Christ is, you know, Christ said, you know, I have called you servants before, but now I'm calling you to be my friends. Because I want to share the secrets of the kingdom of God with you. In other words, he and this is what the idea that Paul is bringing here, that Christ has now lifted us with himself. So that we sit him in position of authority. So the next thing to understand, after you understand, I qualify as a child of God, but I don't only qualify as a child as such, I also qualify in the issue of power and authority. Hallelujah! I can make declarations. I can walk with power. I can bring healings for situations and circumstances because I'm not waiting for the coming kingdom. The kingdom is here. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth, in the now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Listen. In the presence of Christ, when he's sitting, power to heal the sick, to cast out devils. Remember one time Jesus was visiting one of the villages, I don't remember what village, but the Bible says as soon as he entered there, power was present to heal. In other words, he didn't have to work it up. He was not a working it up, and that's what I'm trying to bring you. When you really walk in Christ and live in him, in his power and his glory, it's not a working up, it's walking in it. is your right, is your privilege to heal, to cast out devils. You flow in the grace of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he has lifted us up. Say, I have been lifted up, and I'm sitting with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. You are sitting in a position of power and authority. And so it's not a question of walking it up. And that's what I always say, that Christianity is not about Sunday when we come and worship. It's good to come and fellowship and be encouraged and be taught, and then we go out there to do work of the ministry. But Christianity is every day of our lives. Amen. It is not sometimes, but it's all the time. It's a question of walking in his grace, in his power, 24/7. I don't wait to have power when I come to church. Now, I come to rejoice with the rest of the brethren in fellowship. But whether it is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I walk in his grace and power. I remember mentioning even here before when I was preaching about how I met somebody who believes on Seventh-day Adventist. And they asked me whether I believed in the Sabbath. I quickly said, yes. And they were very happy because they thought I worship on Saturday. But when they talked a little bit more, I told them, no. My Sabbath is so deep. It's not a Saturday Sabbath. Because I said in Hebrews, it says, we entered into the Sabbath rest of God. When you enter into the kingdom of God, you enter into the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. I'll give you rest. So you have that rest in Jesus Christ. So it is not something we do sometimes. It is not something we do on Monday, Tuesday. No, it is something we do every single day of our lives. We walk in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! That's why Paul would say we have been lifted up and we are sitting with Christ in heavenly places. A place of power and authority. Listen, Jesus, whenever you read about Jesus, I was reading about, and I've been praying the last 1 year that God would get me to a place of such glory. Seriously. Because I'm thinking every time Christ goes to any village, he did not have to work it up. He already had the anointing and the healing upon him. Oh, somebody tells me, oh, but because he was Jesus, he was the Son of God. Guess what? He has called us to be sons. And he has qualified not a little bit, but fully. As many as received him, to them gave the power to become the children of God. Not partial children. I am not half a son to Chege. I'm a child, son of Chege. I'm fully a son of the kingdom. So when you come to Jesus Christ and he washes you by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are totally a daughter, a son of the kingdom. So when you are sitting with Christ, that should get into you, that when you are walking in the streets of this city or wherever you are a child of the king with power and authority. Hallelujah. So when you talk, I was preaching in a crew, teaching in Africa, teaching the pastors one time. I said, I want you to be filled with the glory of God, with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Walk in his presence so much so, when you start casting a devil and you say, in the name of Jesus, that the demons will feel, say like, sounds like him, because you sound like the king himself, because you are changed by his likeness. Hallelujah. It is his desire. He says it is his desire that we grow from glory to glory. Hallelujah. It is his desire. He wants you to grow to becoming more and more and more like him. It is his will. It is his desire. It is not that we work it out. No. We live it. We just receive it by faith. And that's the next thing I wanted to mention. The scripture talks about, let me look for this verse right here. One second. Yeah, it says in Ephesians, the same book, chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Underline that in your Bible. Be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what I'm talking about. By faith, you walk and be filled with the fullness of God. That means it is not that I'm trying to be. No, I'm filled with the fullness of God. I walk in power and authority, and the glory of God walks with me. So when I go to situations, things have to change. I walk with the glory so that when I go to places, that has to happen. We've been talking this day. I was talking with Pastor Paul about revivals. And I told him I'm really praying seriously that God will send us revival, because I have I've had a taste in my own life of two revivals that happened. And I've been saying, Lord, give us revival. Because I remember when we had the revival called the East African Revival Movement. It lasted for about 30 years. It started before I was born, actually. I didn't know about it until I was a teenager and I came to Christ through that revival. And you can read about it. You just type, you know, Google the Great East African Revival. You'll read about what was happening. And then in the middle of when I was a teenager now, without even me realizing, another revival swept the land and happened. It was here in America and happened also in Africa, the Greater Charismatic Movement that happened. And then it affected us quite a bit. And there are two things that I still remember to this day. We did not struggle when it came to preaching the word. We were just teenagers. We barely knew the word of God, but we didn't struggle. It was like the Holy Spirit would take over when you start preaching. The Holy Spirit would just, it's like he would just do the preaching himself. There were times that and we are just teenagers, we go to a place and you start ministering and it takes over and you realize you are saying things you didn't even know you knew. And then salvations and healings, and then I'm saying, oh God, give us that revival again. I am praying that God, especially for young people, because I remember I was a young person. That's why I have a great passion for young people. At age 18, I remember going to a local school, what you'd call a middle school here in America. We call it primary school. In Africa, both elementary and middle school are called primary school. So I was in a primary school in Africa in 1974, and I was just invited from the local high school to come and preach this. You know, I'm still in high school. As a junior in high school, I was not even in my senior school year. So I'm going there in that school to preach, and I started just, I thought it was going to be just a normal meeting. And that's what I'm talking about, the need for all of us to start walking in the power. I was not a pastor. That's why I'm sharing this story. I was not a pastor. I was not a reverend. I was not a bishop. I was just an ordinary high school kid who was totally given to serving the Lord and walking this well. So I started preaching the gospel in the power of God to these youngsters. And all at once, it happened just like it happened in the story of the home of Cornelius, where the Bible says that while Peter was still speaking. Remember that story in Cornelius' home where it says, while he was still speaking, the glory of God fell down and people started being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and stuff. It happened exactly like that in my own life. I was just preaching, a young 18-year-old child, a young fellow, a high school kid to these other kids, and I'm just preaching, and all at once, the glory of God comes, the kids fall on the ground, they start crying and getting saved and being filled with the Holy Ghost, all over, not two or three people. God can do it again. He is not a respecter of persons. All he's asking us is to be totally committed to him, and he will come because he wants to let you know that you have been lifted. Not you will be lifted in the future. In the now. Somebody say in the now. In the now. In the now, once you come to Christ and you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, as a child of the King, he has lifted you and you are sitting in Christ in heavenly places. And all you need is to learn to yield to him. And the next thing I mentioned, I want to mention it again here, is then I need to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the only way this kingdom power will be appropriated in the lives of people is if I can learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, after he had taught them, I mean, he's been with them for about 3.5 years. He's taught them all he knows to teach. And of course, if there's anybody you wanted to learn from, it's Jesus. But he tells these people who are really theologically top-notch. They were the best of that time in as far as knowing the Bible, knowing what. I mean, it's Jesus himself who taught them. He tells them, now, you know all these things, but that's not enough. It's wonderful to know the word, but you need the power and the anointing. This only happens through the Holy Spirit. I'm told that the young people have been having a teaching by Pastor Paul on the Holy Spirit, and I pray that every one of you young people will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It is very important that God will fill you with his power and his glory. And then that you realize that you are a candidate of that glory, of that power. It is not those people out there. It is every child of God in this room. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples, dare you not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He called it the promise of the Father. Let me tell you, that promise of the Father is still available to every child that belongs to that Father. Amen. Jesus called it the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is still available to the children. In another text, Jesus called the power of healing the bread of the children. So since you are part of this kingdom, healing for yourself and healing for those that you'll be praying for is available because you are a child of the King. Healing is part of the bread of the children. So as you are sitting with Christ, you are going to share in his glory and his power. So there is no place now for weakness and failure. Oh, that's my weakness. No, don't possess it. It may have been your weakness then, but now you are in Christ. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold what? How many things? All things have become new. So those things that used to be in your family, the preacher yesterday was very clear. I was very happy. I don't know whether you caught that part of his testimony. He was raised in a broken home. A broken home where there was no peace. The father was a terrible drunkard. The mother was messed up in many ways. But today he's a great man of God. Why? Because he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. Listen, there is power in this kingdom. But it's for those that will yield to the Holy Spirit. I remember I think I would have been flowing the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit when I was younger, but my church was completely against it. Oh, my preacher used to say, no, you don't. He used to insult the things of the Holy Spirit. He used to say that those who speak in tongues bark like dogs. And so whenever I was prayed for, I was very careful because I didn't want to bark like dog. I was like, I don't want to be in this thing. And I was so, for a long time, I was kind of scared of this thing about speaking tongues and the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, until I realized this is of God. And I still remember telling the Father, Father, I don't care about my denomination. I don't care what anybody says. What I care is what you have promised of me. I want your gift. I want that which is from you. And listen to me. God will listen to you. He says, ask and it shall be given unto thee, seek and it shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Why? Because he that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and he that knocks, the door is open. That's not a lie. That's our Father promising you. Amen. For the walking in the glory and the power of God is not a promise of the who is who in the kingdom of God. No. The walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is for every child of God. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you with his power and his grace. He will do it. Every gift in the listing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not for the apostolic times. It's for the now. It's for the church. Only open your heart and embrace the Holy Spirit. Because when he comes with all that he has. Amen. He comes with all the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want to see that more and more and more. I know this church is a full gospel church, a church of the Holy Spirit, but we don't want some of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want all of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want the ministries to be for the young people, for the older people, the middle people, the couples. We want the glory of God to sweep over this church. I remember just last year, I was in this church, and I have been disturbed about some things in my life, and I was telling Father, I want to walk with you. I want to walk. So I started spending 2-3 hours in prayer, even more. I said, God, I just want your glory. I just want your glory. Let me walk in your glory. And I told the church this morning, and I was telling Pastor Paul the other day, how I was in Gambia, which Gambia has 95% of their population is Islamic. So it's a kind of place where you really have to be careful what you say when you say it. But I had some of the most wonderful meetings in Gambia last year after I came from here. And one of the fellows, to make the story short, took a photograph of me on the beach as we were walking. And when it came, somebody from Hope wrote to me. I said, Bishop Armstrong, what is that on your head? And I don't remember who it was in Facebook. I said, I didn't answer him first because I didn't know how to answer. I don't even know what it is on my head. So I went back quickly to look what he was there. And then I opened my mouth. It was like, oh my goodness, what is this? Two of the photographs had a light around me, real light. And I said this, I thought, oh, probably it's the camera. I said some issues, you know. I said sometimes, I said possibly it's the camera. So what I did, when I got to America quickly, I got and we took the studio to develop that photograph. And sure enough, the two photographs came with a light around it. And you know what? Because for some time I've been spending time in the presence of the Lord and praying, Father, I want your glory. I want your glory. Now, you see, in history, that light has always been given to the saints who have died. Well, you can see I'm not dead. I'm right here. Because the light of the glory of God is not for dead saints. It's for every child of God. Amen. God wants you to walk in his glory and his power all the days of your life. It is not something for Mary and the Holy Family. You know, usually they have Joseph and Mary with those lights around them. No, a saint is not dead. It is every child of God. Of course, some of them are in heaven, yes, but some of us are right here. You and I, if you're washed, if you read your Bible, Ephesians and Colossians and Corinthians, believers are called who? Saints. Not perfect, but when they walk here, God wants you to know you are a saint. You are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The ones in heaven were washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They came to him by faith. You are washed by the same blood. So you can walk in the same authority. You can have the same glory in your power. I think this is a good message for this week because we are coming to the resurrection weekend and some of you will be going to witness and share. You need to know who you are as you share that. Amen. Because even the 100 that will be going to distribute the flyers, go in the same anointing. You see, some of those will not even have to wait to come here to know Jesus. Why? Because when you meet them with the glory of the Lord and share about the love of Jesus Christ, some of those will be changed right there. Amen. That's what, see, you've been already, you are ready. It's only that some of us, we don't realize, but once you have been here and being taught every week, you are being prepared for the work of ministry. You are ready to go out there and touch people for Jesus Christ. And that's why I gave you the story of me being only a teenager at age 14. I had these hundreds of people come to Christ in one meeting as a teenager. Why? Because I walk in the Holy Spirit. Not by power but or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There are so many breakthroughs that will happen because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus one time rebuked the Pharisees because he said that they think only the scriptures. But he said, if you could only put the two together, it says a question of the word and the power. Somebody say the word and the power. Word and the power. If you could put the two together, the knowledge of the word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you would do great exploits. Because, you know, word of God, you know, why the church has not done very well since the Reformation. And I want to finish because my time is up. Why the church has not done well from the time of Martin Luther, not the American Martin Luther, the German Martin Luther, about 500 years, was because it opened up to the word only. And the word is wonderful. Thus says the Lord. I know Dr. Billy Graham just died recently, and he was one of the big ones of saying, the Bible says, that's great. But in as much as I love the word, without the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot go far. We need the power. And now, and then this is where, you know, as I'm finishing, I want to also put this as a balance. The Pentecostal came in Azusa Street, and then some of them, they overemphasized the power only. They did not want to study. They were lazy. So they wanted the power experience, and then again, they also lost it. Because you don't want only the power, you want the word and power. Somebody say word and power. Word and power. You need to get deep in the scriptures and know thus says the Lord. And in the process, then yield to the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you do so, the breakthroughs will happen, will be so glorious. I am a student of revival. And most of the times, revival comes when those two things hit together. When people are long, learn the word of God and they are praying for the power, they are studying the scriptures, and then the explosion happens, and the end result is always revival. Mighty revivals. Every revival has those two components. When we lose it. We need those two, every one of us. We need the word of God and then the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, signs and wonders. You talk about healings. You talk about casting out devils. It will not be something you are afraid about. Remember walking the streets of Singapore one time. I may have told this story before here, I don't know. 1991, I'm walking in Singapore. I'd gone for a leadership training. And then I saw something on the wall, some shrine, some worship something, you know, a big structure. And I started walking towards this, and a friend of mine from Ghana stopped me. He said, "Armstrong, stop!" I said, "What?" You know, he said it loudly, and I was like, what's happening? He said, don't go through that near that thing. I said, "Why?" He said, "Don't you realize that's a demonic thing there? That's why they have that ritual, and there was a basket with fruits and milk and stuff that they had given a sacrifice to their God." And I remember I smiled, I laughed at my brother. I love him, but I told him, "Listen, my brother, I am not scared by some little demons. I don't care. I actually went right to where that thing was. Because I'm not afraid of little demons. I'm a child of the King. I reign with Christ. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I have power over every demonic power." Jesus says himself, "I give you power and authority over every power of the enemy." Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of some Buddhistic demonic stronghold. No, because I walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So even for you, every day of your life, when you are not here in the church, and that's what I try to emphasize, that this is not about Sunday. True Christianity is not something we do on Sundays. It's something we live every day of our lives in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If only we can know and appropriate the power of the blood of Jesus in our lives. There's some songs they used to sing in the 50s, during the heat of the Pentecostal revivals, they used to sing about putting the bloodline. Because they understood that once you are covered by the blood, once you are of the bloodline, no demons can touch you. Amen. And so you walk there, realizing that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that everything that is in Jesus, listen, don't forget this. Everything that is Jesus gets appropriated in your life as you sit in heavenly places. Now in Jesus, he doesn't have to worry about, do you realize when Jesus was casting devils, he did not pray to cast them out. Because most of the times for Christians, we pray fast. You know, we have kind of to you know, make ourselves a little holier, a little bit powerful. It's like the old engines. I know most of you, most of us were not there probably in the 50s. And I was born in the 50s, but before the 50s, there was a car. Before it started, you swung it. You cranked it. Some of us try to crank up when we are faced with situations. You are scared. You are cranking up, cranking up. You don't need to crank up. If you walk in the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit, it is automatic that the glory will be there. Hallelujah. The demons, you know, I remember one time, and I don't want to make the story, in Africa, I called these young people are wonderful when they get the understanding of prayer. So I had these young people praying and praying and praying, and we were praying, we went to a place, a prayer mountain in Kenya. We prayed. Do you know there was a group of devil worshippers in a place, and we didn't know, but they knew me by name. The devils told them, you cannot do anything. They had confusion, and they were wondering. And they said the demons actually made them know, we can't do much because somebody is giving us hard time, and his name is Armstrong. See, you have power to disturb them even while they are there. Not only here, but wherever they are, as you worship God in the Holy Ghost. Whoa, that's why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's why the Bible talks about that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are praying in tongues, that we pray mysteries. Some of those mysteries is that there's some devil worshippers who be somewhere in Hollywood somewhere, and you don't know you are kneeling down there, but you are destroying whatever they are doing out there. Hey! Hallelujah! The glory of God will use you. And that's what I want you to understand this morning, that you have power and authority. Because it's not like you are trying to crank it up. No, the Bible says we are lifted up and we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's a position of power and authority. Hallelujah. And so when you go out there to witness, when you go out there to share about Jesus Christ, please understand that God has filled you with his power and his grace. And then when, see, why be taught all the things you come and be taught by the pastors here if when you go there you don't appropriate that? We are supposed now, that's why I told all of you are ministers, so that when you receive that anointing, that prayer, that breakthrough, then you go out there and then do the exploits for Jesus. Amen. That's what God wants you to do. You go out there and bring healing. Cast out devils. Do the mighty works that God has called you. Jesus said, greater works than they shall you do. Hallelujah! He wants you to be involved in those greater works. I wish I had the time to give you story after story of people who are not title people, no positions in church that I know. And all they did is they believed God, trust in God. They walked out and great breakthroughs happened. Because they trusted in the Lord. Actually, this week, I was being invited to come back here because I'll be in a high desert area with some friends of mine where I'm preaching next Sunday. But somebody was telling me, oh, you come back to LA because one of the African ladies is coming to preach. So we have a lady, a famous Kenyan lady preacher that's coming to one of the churches in the LA area. I don't remember what church. But they were asking me to come back because I knew her because we grew up together. And while she was only 17, she goes to a conference, never been to anybody, Bible school, never been trained by anything. All she had was Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And she went in the streets of Nairobi, cast out the devil of one of the guys that was known to full of demons, and the demons left. When she had courage, she prayed for her grandmother who was walking in crutches. She walked. And from that time, the Lord lifted her, and she has been preaching ever since, so the last 40 years. That high school kid, God used her. He can do the same for all of us. Amen. If we can open ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will do it for all of us. Oh, let's stand up, please. Hallelujah. Let's say it one more time. I have been lifted up, and I'm sitting in a position of authority with the Christ in heavenly places. Amen. It is every one of you. God has lifted you up, and he's caused you to sit with Christ, right next to Christ, a position of power and authority to bring healing to the nations, to bring healing to your neighbors, to your workplace. God wants to use you. And remember, if you forget anything else I said, I called every one of you ministers. You have the pastor, you do the fivefold ministry, yes? But every one of you, they are preparing you to go and do the work of the ministry. Father, in Jesus' name, I release that word with power and authority over your people. That God, they will be lifted up and that they will see it in their minds now. In Jesus' holy name. They may be walking on their 2 feet, yes. But in the spiritual realm, they are sitting with Christ in heavenly places. They've been lifted up. They are sitting in that position of authority and power to bring healing to their neighbors, to their friends, to their families. I decree that knowledge and understanding upon every one of your children here. Hallelujah. If you've been walking in fear or intimidation or condemnation, the enemy would like to make you feel like you are not qualified. This morning, I want to pray for you. That you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are seated with Christ in a position of power and authority, and that you are qualified to go out there and do the work of the ministry. Now, if it's you and you and you and you, and you will say, Bishop, pray for me. I want to accept that position and walk in the same position. I want to appropriate that in my life. Lift up your hand if that's you. And I want to pray for you and believe God for a breakthrough in your life, in your ministry, that God will use you. Father, in Jesus' holy name, these are your children. Oh, Lord, they love you. They desire to be the best they can be in the calling that you have called each of them. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I pray that they will appropriate the message this morning. And as they walk through that door, they will know that they are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that as they go out there, I decree and declare that they will know and they will receive the power of God in their lives. The breakthrough they didn't even realize they had. And that God, as they make those declarations, you will follow it with confirmation of your word. As you did in the early disciples, Lord, your word says, and you confirmed their message with signs and wonders. I decree signs and wonders for your sons and your daughters here. From this day henceforth, in Jesus' holy name, they shall cast out devils, they will heal the sick, they will walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I decree and declare that they will never be the same again. May these words of Ephesians become a reality in their lives. They may have heard about it, but now I pray that you become reality in how they behave, how they walk, how they talk, how they live. That they will talk as children of the King with power and authority. Receive it now. Receive that breakthrough in Jesus' holy name. Receive the anointing now in Jesus' name. Receive that breakthrough in every aspect of your life in Jesus' name. You will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. And all God's people say it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I need to go over something with you. Will you give me five more? Who give me just 2 minutes? 2 minutes. Raise your hand. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Oh, we got plenty of time. Okay, so, but if you would give me 2 minutes, because I need to coach you how to receive this. Does this make sense? I need to give you application. Everybody say R. R is for what?
Read.
I is for what?
Pray.
P is for what?
Pray.
E is for what?
Pray.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to start, and I'll teach this in the future, but I'm going to spend 2 minutes talking about this. I need you to start praying with people. So you're at a restaurant, and the person's being nice, and they get you your water, they get you all that stuff. And you need, listen, we've already been prayed for. We can walk on this.
Amen.
So, but let me tell you what, it's way more simple than you think. That's what I need to minister to you. So you're at a restaurant, you just say, before they leave, just say, you know what, I know this might sound a little weird. It is weird to them, so just say it. Mm-hmm. I know this might sound a little weird, but I was just wondering, is there something that I can pray with you for? Mm-hmm. And then do me a favor. Be real quiet. Everybody say, be real quiet.
Be real quiet.
That's the main key to this. Opening up your mouth, but then shutting up your mouth. Because we get nervous and we think we got to talk. You know what? I know this is a little weird, but I just wanted to know, is there something I can pray with you for? And then be real quiet. And then watch what happens. Almost all the time, they will say, yes, you can. Sometimes they'll even start to walk away. Sometimes they'll say, no, no, no. And then they'll think for a minute. And then they'll go, yes, there is something. Could you pray? You know what? My husband has just left me. My wife has just left me. My kid just, you know what? And see, you have no idea how you can be used by God. But this anointing today, how many had your hand up to receive that? See, you guys, you got this. You got this. You got this. See, because what we've been teaching on the whole year, you're praying, you know what, you're reading, you're filling yourself, you are locked and loaded, ready to go. Now all you have to do is just, you know what, so the other day, you know what, somebody came to our house, you know what, they were working on the plumbing, and you know what, because I'm invited, I'm mentally prepared myself. Can I tell you what? You are equipped.
Amen.
The only thing you got to do is cock the gun. Does that make sense? It's already loaded. Just cock it. Just fire it. Just ask him, is there something I can pray with you for? You and let's just be amazed what happens. Will you trust your pastor?
Yes.
But I can't get you to do it. All I can do is say, you're ready. And give you the words, okay? And so this guy comes on over, and you know what? And before he left, I knew he's not leaving that I don't minister to him. Well, Pastor, what'd you do? I gave him a card inviting him to church next Sunday. And you know what this guy said? He said, thank you. You know what? Me and my wife have been looking for some place to go. Guys, I'm telling you what, you are the ministers of this church. We are the equippers of this church. You are the minister, and I'm not saying I need to minister too, but what I'm saying is we got this. How many receive that? Okay, all right. Did I tell you we're praying today? What time? 4 o'clock. Who should be at that prayer? Is it? I'm just saying. I know this makes people feel uncomfortable. How many believe that I should pray for Easter? Come on, raise your hand if you think I should pray for Easter. See, you guys are. I'm setting you up. You know, some of you. How many believe I should pray for Easter? Okay. Well, let me tell you what. I believe you should pray for Easter. And you know what? And you're right. But I'm right too. We should all pray for Easter. The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. We're going to be down on our knees. We're going to be in the face of God. We're going to be praying today. for the Good Friday service. If you haven't signed up for the Big Catch, we got two times for you to sign up. Sign up today. Don't leave without you doing that. Couple real quick announcements. How many glad you came? Amen. Hey, can we give a big hand for Armstrong? Armstrong. Amen. You blessed us, and we at this church, we fund Armstrong's ministry. It's one of the things we do, and I want you to know that because we're proud to do that.